July 21, 2019, it's the Watt for Pedro Show. for Pedro show. Happy Sunday. I'm not with Brother Matt, but I'm not totally man alone. Just through the wonders of those engineers in Estonia with their Skype software, I got Adam Mendoza. You're calling from Brooklyn, right?
I'm in Sunset Park, Brooklyn.
Okay, because that's where you live. Not originally, you're OC, but long time you've been there.
As close as I come to original anywhere, I'm OC, yeah.
I mean, you told me you saw
born in Miami.
I know, but you told me you saw me play when you were younger.
Yeah. No, I grew up, my like, you know, teenage years were OC, for sure.
Behind the orange curtain.
Big time.
That's okay. Nobody picks where they're from. And actually, there's a lot of happening people live there. You know, things have changed since you were a little girl. I think politically.
It went left in the last election for the first time.
That's what I was going to say. Even politically, that place has changed.
Big time. I can't imagine.
When I was more younger, there was a guy named Bob Dornan running things down there.
Music stuff.
No, he was a clown in the House of Representatives, I think.
Oh, okay.
I mean, they were notorious. Anyway, it's changed.
What we call left wing here.
Yeah, I thought that was in the French Revolution. I wonder if those words mean shit much anymore. But anyway, it's been 3.5 years since you've been on the show, and you've done some stuff in between.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thanks for having me back on.
Well, I played something from this album you did. Go Back to Space was the tune, and I played it right after John Coltrane with Miles Davis doing Stella by Starlight. Now, this
very
is not
flattering.
Under your own name. This is called Unnatural Ways. It's your band.
Yes.
Well, enlighten the listeners to that.
About the band? So it's my band that I've had since, I guess it's about 8 years old now, and I lived in Oakland, California for 10 years, and I formed a band there with Nick Tamburo and Dominique Leone, who's a keyboard player, as bass player, and drummer. And it was always sort of part instrumental and part, I would, you know, half songs that I sang on. And so we did that for a couple of years and made a record. And then I moved, everybody kind of moved to different places. I moved to Brooklyn and restarted the band with some people out here.
But I think, if I can interrupt for a second, Adam.
Yeah.
I met you when you were living in Oaktown because Devin Hoff, I think, introduced me to you.
Yeah, the gig that we played with Devin was in San Francisco when I was living in Oakland.
It was a benefit, right?
Yeah, it was a benefit.
I think it was the first time me and Devin used
Press,
the,
I think.
I think it was the first time me and Devin used the name Emma Golden Bust Out Brigade.
That's right. And it was a benefit for AK, right?
Yeah. You know, we made an album with Joe Berardi on drums.
Okay.
And it's got to be released. I got to get Byron Coley to put that thing out. It's a trippy-ass record.
Oh, hell yeah.
Devin, in fact, people, when I play with Unnatural Ways in October, it's not going to have the regular Unnatural Ways bass man. It's going to be Devin Hoff.
Yeah, we got Tim Dahl cannot make that gig, and so Devin Hoff is going to be playing. And bass player. And
yeah, talk about how you got together with those guys, because you left the Bay Area and you went to parts east.
Yes, I got to Brooklyn, and then I reformed the band, and it's been through a couple different drummers, but it was immediately with Tim Dahl, who's the bass player in it now. And then the drummer that's been in it for like four years now is Sam Ospavat. And so that lineup is super steady. And Sam's also from Oakland. I've known him forever. We actually we've known each other like 13 years or something. And Tim and I have known each other about 10. So
super locked
in now.
Ava, Go Back to Space.
What's that?
Who's on that? Go Back to Space.
It's Tim and Sam. Tim
okay.
and Sam. That's the regular
That's who
lineup.
Did the album, right.
Yeah.
And where'd you record it?
At Martin BC's studio, BC
right.
Studios.
In Brooklyn.
Yeah,
I was there.
It has like, okay. It has
I was there.
Scenes, so it was Caesar's Palace when I was there. And I didn't even realize it was Martin's studio. when I went in there, and then, you know, there's like the Sonic Youth and Swans posters.
Well, I want to tell you, was there.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it was 1986, and the Sonic Youth was making Evil.
Oh, cool.
And Martin was there, and he didn't have a booth. His mixing desk, it was one big fucking room. So, like, you were in the room with the desk. And when you do a cover, when Sonic Youth wants to do a cover, you don't really play with them. You play with the fucking record. That's what happened with me. So, we want to do this Kim Fowley song, so why don't you just play along to Kim? Fowley, not Gordon.
Oh, Kim Fowley song. Whoa.
It was called Bubblegum off his album Frankenstein. I used Kim Gordon's bass. In fact, it was the first time I played after D. Boone getting killed. You know, I stopped playing for a little bit.
Whoa, okay.
So it was very heavy. It was some big ovation thing. It was cracks in the neck. I remember them pinching me in the palm. And then I did some kind of improvisation thing with the drummer man, Steve Shelley, the new guy, right? Lee made something out of it, like a poem about somebody getting killed in a car wreck or something. But that was very heavy for me. And Martin, he's still doing stuff, and it's great to know. I mean, when was this done?
We recorded there 2 years ago, and then it came out just this past spring.
So
we're
talking more than 30 years Martin's been going at this.
It has a lot of history. That place is special. And I love that room, and I love, you know, the gear they have. So,
but I think there's a booth
really
now, right?
Great to do it there.
I think there's a booth. Like, he's got the mixing board in a different room than where you record.
Yes. So there's the huge, like, high ceiling room when you walk in, and then the control room's upstairs now, different room.
Yeah, he used to be in there, so I wonder, maybe he used headphones or shit. How did he know what was coming over the fucking mics?
It was headphones.
Yeah, it's trippy. I can't remember. It was a hard time for me at that time, and I didn't notice. But I do remember that, because not a lot of situations like that where the engineer man is right there in the room with
you. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I love that.
How long did it take you to do, Al?
Man, we did it in one day, and some of it was stuff that we'd been playing.
You're talking
for
mix
years
too?
At that point.
Or just record?
No. We tracked in one day. And then I overdubbed vocals on my own. But all the instrumental stuff we did in that studio in one day, some of it we've been playing for years, some of it, like, I had just written and we, like, recorded it in little sections. But, yeah, we did it fast.
What do you mean? Like Metallica? Where you just glue it all together? No, I hear that's how,
like,
they have to do it.
Yeah, I mean, we've been
I heard they had to do that for the drummer, man.
I'd edit them together.
One thing about Skype, it's hard to talk at the same time. I heard the drummer man in Metallica has to record that way. He puts a bunch of little parts together and they glue it. They do a bunch of little parts and then they glue them together.
Yeah, I believe it. This was more like recording, you know, like the first 2 minute section, and then, like, separately we'd do the next 2 minute section or whatever. It wasn't like because anybody couldn't play. It was just like easier to get each section.
Yeah, I shouldn't
that
have
way.
Named
then
that.
We, you know,
I just
be,
heard
like,
that. Maybe that ain't true. But this is what I heard.
Yeah,
I don't
make it'd be
fun
like
anybody.
Three edits in a song or whatever.
No, I'm not talking about you guys. I'm talking about that other band.
Mm-hmm.
So, what you're saying before, besides that, studio wizardry, is sort of like a gig because you've been playing them gigs, songs so long.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the ones that we've been playing forever. The way I almost always do stuff is I write something and then I play it for like a year or 3 or 4 years, and then I record it. It's really rare I write something and just go into the studio right away.
In the studio?
Writing in the studio?
Yeah, like I think the other word for that is expensive practice pad.
Yeah, yeah, I don't have the money for that. I can't do that.
You know, people go into $1,500 a day studio with no tunes.
Totally, yeah, and like, let's just go in there and mess around. We'll be creative. Like, no.
Oh man, in the '90s, I went because you know I was on a big label, and I would hear these stories, you know, yeah. spend all day just trying to get a bass sound. And no, this ain't the right place.
Right.
Yeah, $1,500. Look, yeah, I want to play a song here from the new thing.
This Ramones record was made in only a week in the studio, and it's like, oh my God, I would kill for that.
Okay. Oh, the first one. I met that guy, Colin.
I think so.
I met the producer man, Colin.
Uh-huh.
And he was telling me about that. Yeah, that Tommy, the drummer man, actually did all the lead guitar. Johnny couldn't play lead guitar. Look, I want to play this song, Cosmic Border Cop. We'll be right back.
the flower pot painted in red, not living on margarine and bread. So it's dead, so it's dead. Where'd you go once you are dead? A number tattooed on your head, your eyes closed, covered in lead. So it's dead, so it's dead. Feed the animals, feed the people. Feed the animals, feed the people. Feed the people, feed the people. We'll be right back.
was the one taught the kid how I've been
Thank you. too long. We've been suffering for far too long.
Watch for Pedro show. We started that chunk of music with Cosmic Border Cop. What were you trying to say there? Or are you trying to, are you saying enough just by putting it out?
What, you, the title, is that what you mean?
Well, more likely the material, but I guess the title's part of it.
Yeah. Just what am I trying to say? Is that what you're asking?
No, because maybe you don't have to, because that's why you made the song, you know? I don't think has to explain their music if they don't want to.
Sure. The whole album is kind of about, a lot of it has to do with borders and, like, crossing borders and, you know, xenophobia and it all. If it's about one thing, the whole record's about xenophobia and just how we're at kind of a fever pitch of that culturally right now. And it's everywhere. And, you know, you're always reading about detention centers and what's going on at the border and somebody being afraid of some immigrant and somebody getting deported. So that's a big part of what the record's about.
So this was one of the more newer ones, because you were saying earlier that you play these for a while and then you record.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I did as we were playing them is I would change the lyrics. And so they...
Oh, make it more contemporary.
Yeah, I guess so. And also just, like, better, hopefully.
Oh, yeah.
Where, I'd write lyrics and then adjust them over a couple of years. And that,
Well, is this record different that way? Because a lot of your work is instrumental.
Yes. So it is different. It's the first record I've ever done that's, like, it has lyrics on every single song.
Right.
And
then those lyrics were changing. Those lyrics were in flux.
Yeah, those lyrics were changing, and it was partly, like, I just started loving singing more. And it felt like the right people to do it with, kind of, like to do vocal songs and not just instrumental songs with. And then also I kept writing these lyrics because of what's been going on, you know, just paranoia-wise and xenophobia-wise.
Yeah.
I was sort of like writing about that a lot, and it just came out that there were lyrics on every song.
Atmosphere. You know, what about the idea where the lyrics stay the same, but you change the music?
Well, that happened in some cases, too. Like, the music definitely evolved a lot for the ones that we were playing over the years.
Now, I asked that.
It totally evolved.
I asked that because I have a kind of connection going back to being a boy with Blue Oyster Cult.
Yeah.
And, like, there's a song me and Dee Boone did since we were boys called The Red and the Black. And the lyrics I think it's from about running from the draft. And, I got to meet the Bouchard brothers and be friends with them and shit. And it actually had even different titles, but the same words, a different music, but the same word. It first started off as I'm Peeping Through Your Files. And then it got turned into, on the first album they did called I'm on the Lamb, But I Ain't No Sheep. And then on the second album it became The Red and the Black, that me and Dee Boone knew. And then we found it when they were called Stock Forest Group. And they had another version then. But the same words just kept coming through with the different musics and the different band names, all that shit. Ain't that trippy?
Yeah. Well, some of the songs that are on this last record actually came out instrumentally on the previous record.
Yeah, like right. I was going to ask you about that.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
so you repurposed them.
Yeah, I guess so. And it was from... You know, that the second record was this record that we did for the label Zodic, for Zorn's label.
Sure.
And that was all instrumental. And we recorded those. I think we had been playing all of those for like a year when we recorded them. And then kept playing them, and some of them it just felt... I started adding lyrics little by little, and then it snowballed. you know, and they just become full-on songs with vocals all over them. And I think there's three that were on the previous record that are on the Paranoia Party.
Right. Well, let me tell you about the other music we heard after Cosmic Border Cut. So from England, brand new, The Emperor's Ice Cream out of Brighton with So It's Said. And then the Duo Decibel System, some brand new out of Cleveland, Stared at the Sun. Left Side from Lorne, Mike Rinetta, Puzzle Piece 03. Those are both New York City bands. Guided by Voices out of Dayton, Ohio with Cobbler Ditches.
Nice.
Bob Pollard's coming. I think New Year's going to do a 100-song set at the Roxy in West Hollywood.
Whoa, cool.
You know, he's working. I think he's working on his 104th, 105th album.
Uh-huh.
A little bit prolific.
Wow.
Dan Francio, Walking in Heaven. He was on the show last week. Mike Baghetta, you know him. In fact, the last time I saw you,
great.
We shared a stage together with his number 8 from his Cantos record. And then Funhouse, which is the actual recording from last March 2019, people at, used to be called Brownies, now it's called Coney Island, baby, a Lou Reed song. There, a place in Manhattan you can play. Funhouse,
amazing,
song.
Right?
Steve Hodges on the drums. Mendoza guitar, Mike Baghetta guitar, and Watt on the spiel and the bass. And it was the last song of the last gig of that tour. And went straight from there to JFK and conked at the JetBlue deck there. The flight was like 4 or 5. Yeah, I was not too comfortable. But I told Mike Baghetta, look, the last gig, you know, we can probably wait. We don't have to get on an airplane. Next time, let's conk a little bit. He's learning. He's beautiful. I'm going to do some more gigs with him in December.
It was so fun sitting in with you guys. That was
You asked to get on the bill, and
I asked you to get on the bill, and you were like, talk to Mike Baghetta. I wrote Mike.
Right, because it really wasn't my band, right? So I didn't want to, you know, be the total.
Sure. Mike was like, yeah, he was so sweet. We became sort of guitar friends immediately, and yeah, he was like, absolutely. Get you on the bill. So I opened for you guys solo, and then I didn't expect to sit in.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
It happened.
Yeah, but Abbott, like I said, since you are on the bill, and we're doing fucking Stooges, you know, and
yeah.
First time I did that with them guys was those gigs, and I thought, well, fuck. You know, to me, Stooges music is like that. Like, anybody could come in, and, like, they're not just covering Stooges, they're actually bringing some of themselves up because that's what Stooges music does.
They're so good. They're like standards.
It's like a springboard or a launch pad, right, to get your own thing.
Yeah.
And you and Mike, you know, I didn't bring the spiel in for a while because you and Mike were having kind of a dually there.
Yeah.
And, by the way, you were the one holding the middle. You were midships. So that it was just great. And you know there's a video of that fucking thing on YouTube.com.
I know. We're on YouTube. Yeah. That was a good time. We actually, so that gig that we played with Devin, the first time I met you, we played Funhouse too.
I'm telling you, it was the same trip. That kind of music for me just begs for other people to get on board. It's not like, you know, I'm going to copy the Funhouse album better than you. It's not like that at all. It's like, whoa. It's more like a big swimming pool. And so jump in, come on. Or a big hay wagon, like Joey Ramone said. If you got something, jump on. And that's the way I felt with Devin, you know, in his stand-up, and you.
Yeah.
And then again with Mike Baghetta and Steve Hodges in your new town. And I just thought it was fucking appropriate. And you know, and you guys brought it, okay? It's one thing to use words, but, I mean, when it fucking happened, I was just so happy to be on board with you. So maybe it was my fucking idea, but you guys made it happen.
Yeah.
Playing
covers like that is like something I kind of miss it in rock music. You know, it's like I think there should be more of that.
They used to do it with Johnny the Good or something. Yeah, they would do it with medleys, right? Johnny B. Good, Shaking All Over, and But that kind of went out.
Sure, yeah. I mean, 50s rock and roll too. But like, I think it's good to do stuff like that. And it doesn't mean you're sort of like, oh, write your own songs. It doesn't mean you're being lazy.
Good point. Look, we made
nice
the
to
first
stuff like that.
First hour of the July 21, 2019 WAF Pedro Show, featuring a Mendoza. Hold tight for hour two. July 21, 2019, it's the second hour of the Walk from Pedro Show.
Thank you. God mount and rock. Thank you.
Watt for Pedro show. We start off the second hour with Ab Mendoza doing Tennessee Waltz live. It was a daytime gig. And it was in Oaktown, right? Out west here.
Yeah, it was in Oakland in a like bar restaurant in kind of downtown Oakland at 3 in the afternoon or something like that.
All right. So everybody could watch your fingers. Then we had Now from South London doing The Voice in My Ears. Healers out of Illinois with Don't Bother. Chris Chappelle's Distortion Pedal. That's the name of a band. I think it's a father and son team. The Night the Lights Went Out in Venezuela. Dardo with GDLS. It's got to be an acronym because where's the fucking vowel? And then Improvised Piece. This is something you did with Jamaluddin Takuma and Kara Abdul-Shaheed. And I saw Jamaluddin with Primetime Ornette's band where he's got two of everything. He breaks a song like the first note of the first tune and he goes the whole gig with just three strings. Pretty balls up.
Oh, yeah, he'll do that. He'll play through anything.
He's Philly cat, right?
Yes. Yeah. He's in Philly. That gig. So it's the trio with him and Kyrie Abdul-Shaheed. Is that the one that you're playing?
I think so. I don't know. It's just something like, okay. I don't even know, but it looked like you guys were improvised, so that's why I called it
I think if that's the one, then it was this gig in Philly where he came and his amp immediately died. So he went like direct into the PA.
Right.
And he was just like a super good sport about
it. That's what it sounded like. That's what it sounded like. But he's balls out. Yeah, he's a professional. And he's very inventive and very distinctive. You know Jamaluddin, Jesus. And also a great dresser, I gotta say.
Amazing dresser, yeah. He's got so much style. And just like really one of the sweetest people.
But how'd that gig happen?
That happened, so he had gotten in touch with me in the Bay Area because he did this residency in Marin. And he reached out to me and like wanted me to play on it, but the dates didn't work out somehow, but we just stayed in touch after that.
Yeah.
And then I got this gig in Philly right after I moved here 6 years ago and called him up and asked him if he would do it, and he was down. So, yeah, it was super great to play with him. We've played together one time since then, and it's, like, always inspiring.
Maybe record in the future, maybe.
I know. It's hard to, you know, orchestrate the whole thing.
Yeah, I know. But what about, let me get back to Mike Baghetta, and you say you guys are guitar players. I mean, there's a place for inventive guitar players these days, huh?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess I grew up...
Who do we blame? Nels Klein?
What's that?
Who do we blame? Nels Klein?
Nels Klein is definitely part to blame, but like, yeah, I grew up around him and around that L.A. scene.
I mean, there's
him
other guys.
You, basically.
In your parts, too, there's Mark Rabeau and Bill Frisell.
For sure.
I really dig
but
this.
Nels,
this
like,
thing where the guitar players don't have to play cliches. They're really adventurous kind of playing, man.
Yeah.
And not afraid to play with anybody.
No. They'll play with a dog. Like, in the best way. But, yeah, I mean, I really... That gig that I did with you and Mike...
Sure. Steve Hodges on the drums, too.
The week...
Oh, you're cutting out there. You're cutting out there. Say it again, Ava.
I've seen him or played with him.
Ava, you cut out. You have to say that again.
The week before... Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
You can hear me?
I can hear you.
The week before that gig that I played with you, I had played a duo gig with Nels. And I was like, oh, right, this is kind of my roots. It was like these SoCal people that, it's like people who play in punk bands but love John Coltrane, and that's like a huge part of their music. And I feel like that's just what I grew up loving, and I kind of took it for granted. But it's still where I come from in a lot of ways.
What about this tune, Tinfoil?
I'll tell you.
This two tinfoil hats. I found a live version in Natural Ways. I want to play it now. Watt for Pedro show. Jake's song we just heard live, Ava Mendoza. And before that, Telomere Repair, Stewart. The head of That Mess Aesthetics, this new band with Joe Lolly and Brendan from Fugazi, Mythomania. And we started with Tipfall Hats, Live a Natural Ways. I guess one was Ava Mendoza, one was A Natural Ways. So, yeah, different times. You want to say something about those songs?
Yeah, Jake's song is just under my name.
Well, tell us about both those recordings.
Yeah, so actually, Tinfoil Hats, it's the instrumental version of something you played on the first hour, which is Most of All We Love to Spy.
Right. Okay.
Like, yeah, it's the older, no vocals version. So, it's that...
John
Tinfoil
Zorn's.
Hats is on the... Yeah, on Zorn's label, and then Most of All We Love to Spy is on the last record. Sure. So, you got both of them.
Okay.
And then Jake's song is on, I think did you play the one off YouTube or the one off a record?
No, this is a live version.
Okay. Then it's, I think it's solo, the live one.
It's you. It's just
and,
you.
Just me and...
Well, you and a guitar and an amp.
A bunch of pedals, you know, super
and some
simple,
pedals, probably.
Simple tune.
Yeah, what's your idea about pedals? You know, we had a guy with us, I don't know if you noticed, but with me, Mike Begetta, and Steve Hodges, there was a guy recording the gig named Chris Schlarb. And
Sure.
I remember driving around, you know, he's with us on the tour, all four of us in a little minivan, and him and Mike Begetta getting into discussions about pedals.
Yeah.
So what's your take?
Well, I'm definitely a pedal guy, but I kind of have my rig. It's like, what, 6 pedals or something, and it I keep it pretty much the same. I'm not that into buying everything new that comes along. I want to keep it, you know, where's my instrument?
You did have a new guitar, right? When I saw
what's
you.
That?
You had a new guitar when I saw you.
Yeah. I was able to have that custom made by this guy, Rob Raddick, who lives in Park Slope. Great guitar builder and super sweet guy. So that's been my baby, basically, for 2 years.
Because before that, you were using the same guitar for a long time. It wasn't custom built, but you used it a long time.
No, that was, old Whitey, my white Jaguar.
Yeah.
My white Jaguar reissue.
So did this guy, did you bring the Jag to him and say, hey, I want something like this but different?
Yeah, well, he had been my just repair guy for a while. So I would bring old Whitey to him, and I was like, I want something, you know, like this but different in these ways. And, I think I'm going to get a Jazzmaster. And he was like, hold on, I'm starting to build guitars. What if I just cut you a deal and I build something for you? And he offered me something reasonable, and he was such a good repair guy. I was like, yes, absolutely. He built the green one, which is, like, based off a Jazzmaster Jaguar body.
Yeah.
But it's got a longer neck and better sustain and you know, just... custom fit to me, basically. I love it.
I did one recording session with Nels Klein. He used 36 pedals, and I asked him.
Yeah, Nels beats me with pedals for sure. He has more than me.
This session had 36, and I asked him, what is your favorite pedal? And you know what he told me?
What?
Volume. Did you hear that?
What did he say?
Volume.
No, what did he say? Volume pedal. You know what? I think I kind of agree. Like if I have to bring one to a gig, it's volume. If I have to bring two, it's like overdrive or distortion. But volume, something about using a volume knob. Like,
yeah, I was going to say, you know, Jimmy played upside down Strats.
Yeah.
So he had the knob right there on his palm.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I never got that good with a volume knob, and also it'll like. You know, it changes your tone so much when it's down halfway or whatever.
You lose high end, right?
Yeah. You lose presence. So I got really used to volume pedal, and I did. Yeah, that might be my number one too.
Well, like nails. Okay, what is your least favorite pedal?
Oh, there's so many. I mean, well, okay,
the declaminator.
Well, I'm not a big chorus has to be. It's like you should have a license to be able to use chorus pedal.
You mean like the Edge?
There's like no wavy chorus I like, no wavy 80s chorus I like, but then there's certain kinds where I'm like, oh, you should have, like, had to go to chorus pedal school before you started using it that way.
Good point.
I mean, flangers kind of like that. Not my favorite.
Yeah, the modulate thing, huh? Okay, I'm just curious. I don't know. I'm going to use a buzz box on this next tour I do with Flipper. We're at the end of the second hour, July 21, 2019. Special guest out of Mendoza. Hold tight for hour three. July 21, 2019. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show. Watch for Pedro show. We start off the third hour with Danifest Messini. Here's Ava going to tell you about this.
Yeah, so Danifest Messini is off the first Unnatural Ways record. And it's again, just like, whatever, Manifest Destiny. It's just this, like, psychedelic, kind of absurd, kind of stupid riffing on American mentality. And yeah, it was one of the songs off that record that has vocals all over it. About half are instrumental. And that's with Nick Tamburo and Dominique Leone.
That's when you had a keyboard.
Yeah, yeah. Keyboard is bass.
So I tell you, that title, it makes me think of, you know, in school, and you know, what policy was most responsible for westward expansion? And of course,
totally.
Yeah, but I got it wrong, because you know what I put up for my answer?
No.
Man erect next to me.
Well, I put Manifest Destiny. That's so funny. We both got it wrong.
Yeah, we're a bunch of wrong answerers. Okay, we had another Umbrella after that with Having a Good Time, late great Richard Derrick Crane. After that, Take Me With You, number two, National Debt, No Time to Lose, and then Unnatural Ways. To get more recent, is this a joke? A question mark, right? So tell us about that, baby.
Oh, sorry, did you ask me?
Yeah.
Or is it play? Oh, you asked.
You don't have to. You know, I've had people tell me, look, Watt, I made the song. I don't have to explain it. I mean, you don't have to explain it.
No. That's why I just couldn't tell if you asked me or if you were like, I'm playing it right now.
Well, that was the last song we heard on the last block of music there, Ava.
Okay. Got it. So is this a joke? Is
people, look, you got to understand, Ava don't really hear the music till she hears the show, because I put all this shit on digitally. So sorry to confuse.
That one's off the first record as well. And, you know, it's kind of like a, I love Ornette Coleman, and it's kind of a, like a response to this song of his called Free.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say Lonely Woman.
Like,
I thought you were going to say Lonely Woman. Joe Baez does a good version of Lonely Woman. By the way, Joe Baez was here in Pedro at Casa Hansa recording some solo stuff. Guys like Nels Klein, right? Joe Baez. Joe Baez was 27 years old, an artist, right? A guy who drew. And because of the punk movement, hey, I want to learn guitar. 27 years old. And in a couple of years, he's transcribing Charlie Parker solos.
He's so good.
Yeah, so intense. Yeah, really beautiful thing about the movement. I want to play here, Quit Your Unnatural Ways. You want to say something about that before we play it?
Sure. Yeah, so that's actually off this record that's kind of a prequel to forming the band Unnatural Ways. And that was just a duo with the first drummer from the band, Nick Tamburo.
Right.
That record is me and him duo. And it's called Quit Your Unnatural Ways. And that song we just heard is Quit Your Unnatural Ways.
Yeah. It's such a subjective thing, huh? What's natural? It's like I hear this word normal, and it really makes me, I don't want to hear that word.
Yeah, no, as soon as I hear people talking about natural, I mean, it's like that's been used to justify so much racism.
Of course.
Slavery, sexism, all this stuff. It's like, as soon as I hear that, I'm like, uh-oh, something's wrong.
Okay, let's listen.
thanks a lot. Get me going. Blues are so warm. I swear one day I'll find myself in a sitcom kitchen with some actors who's not wearing pants. Sure he can make it. Give it one day the chance. A nest of broken glass. Magpie's love, shiny surface, leaves me cold and cracked. I should never worry about the situation. There's a reaction pretty good to laugh. Knocking milk, giving one day the chance.
Pedro Show last music for this show. Quit Your Unnatural Ways from Unnatural Ways. Then Dan Jones with Just Woke Up, The Mountain Dulcimer Bleed. Richard X. Heyman for Garden Bath. He was on the show a couple months ago. God, he's maybe almost 70, still doing, you know, beautiful inspiration. 1/8 from The Leftists. And then Go Back to Space, but a live version, people. Not like what we started the show off pretty near 3 hours ago. What's next for Unnatural Ways besides playing with Watt without your regular bass player in October?
Yeah. We've got, let's see, our next thing is August 10th with Tear Accident from Chicago. They'll be coming through Brooklyn, and we're playing a show with them at Ceremony on the 10th. That's in Williamsburg.
Okay. So you got some gigs?
At the end of August, we do a little, what's that?
So you got some gigs?
Yeah. So we have that local thing, and then end of August, we go, like, basically as far west as Chicago.
You got some tour.
Yeah. So it's, like, Cleveland, Lafayette, Chicago, Detroit, Toronto, Montreal, back home. It's a little tour.
And where can people find out about you on the Internet?
We have a Bandcamp that's just unnaturalwaysbandcamp.com. And then my website has, like, a bunch of sort of a wing on the band.
And then what's the URL for that website?
A bunch of information, and that's just, it's avamendosamusic.com.
Let's spell it.
AVAMENDOZAMUSIC.com.
Yes, people, go there. From there, you can find out about other places where she puts information, but that's her home base there. And you probably have a link to your Bandcamp from there too, right?
Yeah, it's easy. It's all linked up.
Yeah.
Facebook,
so AvaMendosaMusic.com, people, to get information about these upcoming gigs she's got. She's going as far west as Chicago. Man, it's going to be sweaty. You know that.
Oh, I know. It's disgusting in Brooklyn right now.
But Chicago, end of August, Chicago ain't going to be too calm either.
It's going to be crazy. Yeah, we're kind of asking for it. At least it's late August.
I got to tell you, SoCal has been calm. 70s.
Yeah.
Well, you know, not in the valley, of course, and shit, where Perk is, it's okay. 100 every day. But Pedro, 70s.
And it's dry there. That makes it, I do better with dry heat. Humid heat and just, you know, New York's dirty. It's a city. It's like humid heat and dirt blowing at you all the time.
Has an odor to it.
The New York.
Anyway. What we've been talking about a lot of adventurous guys on guitar. But yourself, what about ladies on guitar? Is there more
like you, Evan?
Not to be sound like you're attraction at the zoo or something, because you're a beautiful person, but is there other ladies tearing shit up on guitar?
Yeah, well, Pat from the Contortions.
Yeah,
is definitely
goes
a big
way
one.
Back.
Yeah, I love her.
She was big on slide, right?
Yeah, she's a great kind of like, you know, no wavy slide player.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, you dropped out again.
People that...
You dropped out there.
Style. Nobody else sounds like that, you know?
Right.
Uh-oh. Well,
yeah, you dropped out. But what you were saying was nobody sounds like Pat Place.
Nobody sounds like her. Yeah. Super special.
Right.
And then there's ladies around in my scene now that I like a lot.
Let's give them a shout-out so people can find out.
Yeah. My friend Sally Gates.
She's one of them.
She's like a metal-y, shreddy guitar player. Super great. Mary Halverson is somebody that's more in the, like, free jazz and jazz world that I like a lot. Jessica Ackerley has a band called Essie, E-S-S-I.
Okay.
And she's real awesome. Those are the three ones closest to me, I would say.
And what do you think? It could be a thing, right? I'm into it. It's not just a freak show, right? It's a natural way, or an unnatural way of doing this.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not.
What I'm saying is the era of just
show,
playing.
Like, people being like, oh my God, it's a woman and she can.
Yeah, what I'm trying to say, Ava, that the days of just playing tambourine and backup singing isn't the only place for a lady with music.
Yeah, sure. Sure. Well, yeah, I mean, that's hopefully super over, you know? And for me, it's funny because I grew up, the way I learned to play was from playing classical guitar.
Yeah.
And that's actually, like, kind of mixed. Like, there were a lot of girls in that just growing up. So sure. I never...
Oh, you cut out again.
Music with a dude thing until I got into my 20s.
Oh.
It never occurred to me that music was, like, really more men than women, even, until I was in my 20s, and I started playing in rock bands. And then I was like, okay, you know, a couple of women, and by the time I was 30, it was like, where'd they all go?
Yeah.
But as I was growing up, because it was classical music, it was way more balanced.
Right, right.
I just didn't want to play that music.
Sure. You know, there was something about 120 years ago called mandolin orchestras, and they would be almost entirely female. Yeah, and they'd have mandolins of every size, from the little ones that we know to, like, bass ones that were tuned in fourths. Actually, they had frets, so Mr. Leo Fender, I'm sorry you didn't invent the fretted bass, but... Yeah, but the whole thing of gender and all this stuff to fucking determine things of as far as artistic expression is so ridiculous, though.
It's totally...
But you know what? Any farmer would tell you, Adam.
We're done.
Any farmer would tell you... A farmer would tell you, if you want a good crop, use a lot of manure. So I said, bring it, motherfuckers.
Oh, yeah, bring the shit. Sure.
It's been a huge honor to have you on again. When you get your next album done, can we talk again?
I would love to. Okay. I would love to. Thanks so much for having me on.
Absolutely. I'd like a third time, so... In the future.
Yeah.
Been great honor to have you on this time. Good luck with your tour. People, it's been July 21, 2019 edition of Watt for Pedro Show. Special guest, Ava Mendoza. Keep your powder dry.